Once you start the conversation and you start to get some information, when you get these PI or this pain indicator stuff, then there's a planned script versus a canned script that you need to go through. And your planned questions could sound something, or statements could be something like, well, tell me more about that. So in other words, if I say, what caused you to invite me out today? And Sally says, well, Tony, as I mentioned to you on the phone last week, we are having a bit of a problem with getting reports for our 401k. The typical response, or the incorrect response, is, well, let me tell you about our company and how we handle that. And then you get into your sales pitch. Wrong answer. Instead, slow down and start to deliver some statements and ask some questions. When someone says to you, we're having a problem with, or we're concerned about, or a little unhappy with, your next statement ought to be something like, well, Sally, that's not unusual. Occasionally I hear that. Tell me more about that. And they will tell you more about that. And then your next question should be, well, help me understand. I can understand why that particular problem has been a problem for some of the companies that I've worked with and solved that problem for them. But specifically, why is that a problem for you? Now, you're sitting there thinking, well, geez, why would you do that? And what's an example? Okay, so Sally tells me they're having a problem with their getting reports on 401k. And I say, well, okay, I think I understand that, and that's not unusual. And who are you with? And they tell you who you're with. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes that happens working with that firm. Well, tell me more about that. So they tell you more about it, and they go on and give you a dialogue. And as they're telling you more about it, you're going to begin to hear some pain. And in intellectual, you're going to say, okay, now I know what the problem is, and I know why it's a problem. And that's what will keep you from asking the next question. And we'll talk about hurdles later on. You have to overcome your vast intellectual knowledge about your industry. Because with all that knowledge, you're such a brilliant individual, you don't want to appear to be stupid when you ask, well, why is that a problem? Because you're afraid that your prospect is going to say, well, what kind of idiot are you? You don't know why this is a problem. That is not going to happen if you set it up right. And that's why you set it up by saying something like, well, you know, with my clients that have had this type of problem in the past, it's been a problem for them for very specific reasons. If you don't mind, share with me or tell me, why is it a problem for you? So you see, you set up the question, but find out why it's a problem to them. And then you can ask them, well, how long has this been a problem? Because if it's been a problem for 5 years, what's that tell you? It tells you that they have not associated massive pain with the problem yet, so that's why they haven't changed. So they're going to tell you how long has it been a problem. Okay. Then you could ask a question, what have you done in the past to try and fix this problem? Well, I haven't done anything. Now that's interesting. Why not? What they're telling you when they say, we haven't done anything, especially if the problem has been for 5 years, it's really not that big of a problem. And they say, well, we haven't done anything because it's just now escalating to a point where it's just become unbearable. When you say unbearable, what's unbearable? Well, let me ask this next question. What happens if you don't fix the problem? Well, nothing really. It continues to be an aggravation. Is it an aggravation that you'd like to fix? You see, and that's a qualifying question. Find out right there. The question that you must ask to make sure that you have a prospect that's based on severe mental anguish and pain and discomfort and cognitive dissonance and gap and all those things we talked about is you have to ask this question. Do you want to fix the problem? Now, every time I go out and work with one of my new groups, I ask them, I challenge them, make sure that you are asking this question 100% of the time. I can't imagine any kind of what we call brain baggage, any kind of fear that you would have that would keep you from asking that question other than there's one fear. And the fear is the answer might be, well, no, we're just kind of kicking it around. And the reason that's a fear for most salespeople is when they go back to their office, they take a look at their schedule and they look at their calendar and see how many appointments they have the rest of the week, it's a blank page. There's nothing going on. And so they're afraid of the answer of, well, it'd be kind of nice if we can find something, versus, absolutely, we've got to fix it. And so in other words, because your prospect funnel, because your prospect pipeline is empty, there's not enough going on there, you try and hold on to all these prospects and try, well, actually they're suspects. You try and turn them into clients and they may not be. So you're afraid of the answer. So we have to get past those fears. All right? Here are some things that we call tack facts that you have to keep in mind as you start to go through this discussion. And if as long as you keep these things in mind, it'll make it easier for you to ask the who, what, when, where, how, and why questions. Keep in mind, number one, that the problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When they say, I'm having a problem with getting reports, that isn't the real problem. What you have to find out is, well, why is that a problem for you? What is the cause and effect? See, what they've stated is, this is what's going on in our business. I'm not getting reports. Well, what's the impact of that? And that's what the real problem is, and you have to get to there. The question a prospect asks you is never the real question. Now, we're going to deal with how to work with questions a little bit later on, but remember Sales 102. Answer every question with a, you already know the answer, a question. We got to get used to doing that, and we'll talk about why we're not doing that in a second. And the third thing is the statement the prospect makes is never the real statement. In other words, when a prospect says to you, we're interested in, you can't automatically be like the commercial on TV for the hamburger joint where your mind goes, cha-ching, got one. Interested in does not mean that they're a prospect and they're ready to buy. So you have to find out what that really means. There are some things that you need to do to intensify the pain, if you will. And in doing so, what might happen is you might become a little uncomfortable. Just for grin, stop and think about the last time you were on a sales call and you asked a question that was an incredibly difficult question that caused you to be uncomfortable. If that's not happening, then you're not asking tough enough questions. You've got to say some things that are going to make you feel really uncomfortable. In other words, when someone says to you, well, suppose you do a good question, say, well, how much is this problem costing you? And they say, well, it's costing us $50,000 a year. You've got to be gutsy enough to say, well, with all due respect, Sally, that doesn't sound like much of a problem. When you're talking about maybe turnover, or you're talking about maybe claims and insurance or breakdowns on a piece of equipment, and you say, well, how often does that happen? Well, it's happened once in the last 6 months. You've got to be gutsy enough to say, well, you know what? That probably won't happen again. Now, we're going to have some fears about doing that because it's happened once, you want to go ahead and sell your product. You want to go ahead and sell your service to try and fix that thing. You've got to push them a little bit. You've got to get them to defend their position. You've got to get them to say, well, no, but it might happen again. And that's what causes you to say, well, suppose it does. So we have to get past those fears. All right?